Welcome to CCF Perspectives on ReachMD, providing Crohn's and colitis updates, driving innovation in IBD research, education, and clinical support. This series is produced in collaboration with the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation.
From the Take Steps Walk in Philadelphia, this is Crohn's and Colitis Foundation Perspectives on ReachMD. I'm Rebecca Kaplan, Public Affairs and Social Media Manager at the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. With me today is Dr. Adam Ehrlich, Assistant Professor of Medicine at Temple Hospital. Today, we'll be discussing the latest treatments for IBD. Dr. Ehrlich, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So there are a lot of different treatments available for IBD patients. Can you discuss briefly the main classes and how they differ?
Sure. There's about five main classes, and I will say briefly. Number one is steroids. Oftentimes, steroids like prednisone are used to sort of get someone feeling better quickly when they're having a flare, either in their first diagnosis or if they flare later on in their disease. You have a group called aminosalicylates, like mesalamine products, and they're often used in ulcerative colitis who have mild to moderate symptoms, and they can be given orally or per rectum. There's a group of medicines called the immunomodulators, which include azathioprine and methotrexate and 6-mercaptopurine. In this day and age, they're generally used as sort of an adjunct to some of the other medicines available. There are antibiotics, which can be used in specific circumstances when you have infections, and there is some data for also actually helping Crohn's disease. And then lastly, probably the biggest and most well-known category these days is biologics. There's a whole host of biologics out there these days. The first one was infliximab, approved in the 1990s, and we now have about six or seven other ones that have some different mechanisms as well.
Great, and that leads right into the next question. The most recent medication approvals have been for both biologics and biosimilars. Can you talk about what each of them are and the differences between the two, and why a doctor would recommend a biologic versus a biosimilar and vice versa?
Sure, absolutely. Biologics as a sort of a general category are monoclonal antibodies. Antibodies are something that your body produces to help fight off an infection, for example, and these are targeted to specific aspects of the inflammatory bowel disease. The common ones like infliximab, adalimumab, certolizumab, and golimumab are called anti-TNFs, and they block the TNF molecule that helps sort of produce inflammation in someone with inflammatory bowel disease. And over the last 4 or 5 years, there have been some new drugs approved that work by different mechanisms. Vedolizumab blocks the way that white blood cells get into the tissue to cause inflammation. And then there's a medicine called ustekinumab, which was approved recently for Crohn's, that also blocks some of the inflammatory molecules that are useful in sort of propagating the disease. So by blocking that, you're helping. Biosimilars can sort of be thought of as generic biologics. And I know we don't want to say that technically because it's not exactly the same, but basically they are biologic compounds, monoclonal antibodies that block the same compounds that the original biologics block, but they are made by other companies. The data out there so far suggests that they are useful in similar ways to the biologics that are already out there, but we don't yet have all of the data on sort of what they're going to mean over the long term. From the physician perspective, we're going to be using them probably interchangeably with biologics to start, but it's going to depend a little bit on insurance coverage and the particular patient, because I think there's a difference between getting started for the first time on one of these medicines and someone who's been on, say, infliximab for 10 years, switching to their biosimilar version is probably not something that we're going to be doing regularly.
So what's coming down the drug pipeline for IBD?
That's a big question. There's a lot of stuff. The downsides of some of the medicines that we have are there's some questions about safety. They can suppress the immune system. There are some questions about mode of delivery. So a lot of these medications are either IV infusions that you have to go to a place for or injections that you give yourself. Also efficacy, because they don't all work for every patient. And so there's a lot of new things coming out there. Number one, we're looking for new mechanisms. The medicines that are out there now block certain molecules or do certain things, and we're looking for some new options. Ustekinumab, which was just recently approved, is a novel mechanism. Vedolizumab, similarly, is a novel mechanism. And so there are some drugs that are going to come out that are sort of worked by those similar mechanisms. Hopefully also some oral medications that are, number one, going to be easier to take and work by blocking different molecules in the inflammatory pathway.
Great. What progress is being made to bring us closer to precision medicine for IBD patients?
So that is the holy grail. We want to be able to take patient X and say, okay, well, because of factors X, Y, and Z, you're going to respond best to medicine Y. And we're not there yet, but we're working on it. First of all, we're looking for risk factors that are going to predict whether someone's going to have a severe course of disease or a mild course of disease. And This is a not perfect science by any means, but for example, a Crohn's patient who smokes, we know they're going to have a worse course. Someone who's that gets diagnosed early in life in general is going to have a worse course. So now we base our medication choices on some of those factors. So if we think they're going to have a bad course, we're going to put them on something more aggressive early on. What we're hoping to do is to figure out either with genetic testing, so, you know, patient X has gene Y, and as a result of that, they're going to be more likely to get a severe course of disease, so we're going to do that. Or they have gene Y, and that's going to say medication X is going to work for them, right? And so we're going to choose that. We're not there by any means, but that's hopefully the goal.
That's exciting. Well, it's all the time we have. My thanks to Dr. Adam Ehrlich for joining me today to talk about the latest treatments in IBD. Dr. Ehrlich, it was great having you on the program. I'm Rebecca Kaplan. To access this episode and others from Crohn's and Colitis Foundation Perspectives, visit reachmd.com to be part of the knowledge. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crohn's and Colitis Foundation Perspectives on ReachMD, produced in collaboration with the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. For access to this and other episodes and to download the ReachMD app, visit reachmd.com/foundation.